help us to commence this morning with part of hymn 780, the first 5 verses. Come, my soul, and let us try for a little season every burden to lay by. Come and let us reason, what is this that casts thee down? Who are those that grieve thee? Speak and let the worst be known. Speaking may relieve thee. 780, the first 5 verses.
Thank you. us read from the Holy Word of God. Firstly, from the second book of Chronicles, chapter 28. And then we will read part of Isaiah chapter 9, which was part of that prophecy given unto Ahaz, of whom we will now read in the second book of Chronicles, chapter 28. But that prophecy was also given unto us. 2 Chronicles 28. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Baalim. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Wherefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria, and they smote him and carried away a great multitude of them captives and brought them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. For Pekah the son of Remaliah slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. And Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Maaseiah, the king's son, and Azrikim, the governor of the house, and Elkanah that was next to the king. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded, and he went out before the host that came to Samaria and said unto them, Behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hand, and ye have slain them in a rage that reacheth up unto heaven. And now ye purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondmen and bondwomen unto you. But are there not with you, even with you, sins against the Lord your God? Now hear me therefore, and deliver the captives again, which ye have taken captive of your brethren. For the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. And certain of the heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah the son of Johanan, Berechiah the son of Meshilemoth, Jehizkiah the son of Shalom, and Amasa the son of Haldlei, stood up against them that came from the war, and said unto them, Ye shall not bring in the captives hither. For whereas we have offended against the Lord already, ye intend to add more to our sins and to our trespass. For our trespass is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the congregation. The men which were expressed by name rose up and took the captives, and with the spoil clothed all that were naked among them, and arrayed them, and shod them, and gave them to eat and to drink, and anointed them, and carried all the feeble of them upon asses, and brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, to their brethren. Then they returned to Samaria. At that time did King Ahaz send unto the kings of Assyria to help him. For again the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captives. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the low country and of the south of Judah, and had taken Beth Shemesh and Ajalon and Gederoth and Shoko with the villages thereof, and Timnah with the villages thereof, Gimzo also and the villages thereof, and they dwelt there. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. And Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord, and out of the house of the king and of the princes, and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not. And in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that king Ahaz. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Assyria help them, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me. For they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God, and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of God, and he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem, and every several city of Judah. He made high places to burn incense unto other gods, and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Now the rest of his acts and of all his ways, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem. But they brought him not into the sepulchres of the kings of Israel. And Hezekiah his son reigned in his stead. Now let us turn to read the first 7 verses in Isaiah chapter 9. A prophecy in the days of Ahaz. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. May the Lord help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray for thine almighty help now, to help us as we come before thee. O indeed, we have read thy word, and O Lord, may those words sink into our hearts. O Lord, how thou didst bring those judgments upon an ungodly ruler, but yet in the midst, those precious promises of the Messiah. O Lord, do give us ears to hear. O Lord, that we may have by faith eyes to see. And O Lord, as we Our souls are set in an ungodly day, an ungodly government, a nation which has run after, for the most part, the things of vileness, wretchedness, lust, covetousness, leisures and pleasures. But, O Lord, what a blessing it is that we yet have the promise in thy word of the Messiah. Indeed, we see in thy word the record, the holy record of thy coming, O Lord Jesus Christ, and thy resurrection, thy death and resurrection. But, O Lord, thou shalt come again, and may we be those that watch unto prayer, to await thy coming, to await thine appearance. O Lord, may we be given that grace to look up unto thee, though we are such vile and worthy sinners. And, O Lord, what an unspeakable blessing that thou didst send thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth to live and to die and to rise again. And, O Lord Jesus, thou art now in heaven interceding at the right hand of the Father. And, O Lord, as we are gathered here now, O Lord, how precious that intercession is, how precious thy work of redemption. It is all our hope. O Lord, we do pray that we may know more by the Spirit the blessings of thy shed blood and thy resurrection and ascension. O Lord, do grant us life, life unto thee, but O Lord, we may be dead unto the things of this world and the lusts of it. O Lord, have mercy upon us, for our old man within so lusts after evil things, envies foolish things. But, O Lord, do draw us, and we will run after thee. And, O Lord, as we are gathered here, do grant thy favour then. And, O Lord, we will pray for thy blessing upon this church and the friends here that are gathered. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst bless them abundantly. Do bless our friends, the deacons here, in their responsibility. Do grant them that help and that guidance in all the affairs of the house, in the choosing of the hymns. But, O Lord, as we see so many churches without a pastor, churches without a minister, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to raise up more labourers, to raise up pastors in the churches, we pray, even here. But, O Lord, that thy grace and favour may be known through the ministry of thy word according to the heavenly pattern given in thy word. And, O Lord, we do thank thee that thou hast favoured us in the churches with the sending forth of more labourers, ministers of the gospel. So, Lord, we do pray that thou would strengthen those aged servants. O Lord, we do know of many that are in old age, infirmity and sickness. We pray for our friend John Broom, that thou would strengthen him, grant that he may be enabled to go forth yet further in preaching thy word and in the ministry, and if it could please thee, he may be strengthened to be here on the coming Lord's Day. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst help thine aged servants, do strengthen those recently sent forth into the ministry, but O Lord, do raise up more, we pray, do grant there may be that casting of the mantle upon those in the younger generation to go forth, whether it be in the preaching of the word or as pillars in the churches or as mothers in Israel. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be upon us in mercy and grant that there may be an awakening in our nation by the Spirit. Indeed, even in this area, in this village, there may be those brought in who would truly seek not pleasures and leisures or entertainments, but truly seek thee in spirit and in truth. And may we so seek thee now, if there be any here that are not seeking thee in spirit and in truth. O Lord, do grant that the word may enter into their hearts with power. And, O Lord, we would pray for those who are not here. Some taken ill, unable to be here. We do pray. And, O Lord, would especially pray for friend Elizabeth Curley, that thou wouldst help her and her husband. O Lord, that she may be granted that recovery and strengthening. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to help them and strengthen her especially. O Lord, we do pray for any other that are unable to be here through illness or old age. Thou mightest be pleased to bless them in their homes. Bless them in their souls, we pray. We do pray that thou wouldst look in mercy and favour by thy grace, the children and the young people. O Lord, that thou wouldst teach them and guide them, preserve them. O Lord, be with those that are commencing their studies, that are going forth into employment. O Lord, do be with them and guide them and preserve them in the way. O Lord, we do pray for thy grace and mercy to rest upon us then. Do touch my lips with a live coal from off thine heavenly altar, that I may speak that which is right and honouring in thy sight. Do touch our hearts, we pray, that we may receive the word, that we may live to thine honour and glory. We thank thee that, and praise thee that we are here, that we have thy word before us. We have a place to gather in where we may worship thee. O Lord, do give us a heart so to do, that we may not grow cold and complacent, careless, indifferent to these things. We ask then thy mercy in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us continue by singing the remainder of hymn 780, commencing at verse 6. Faith, when void of works, is dead. This the scriptures witness, and what works have I to plead, who am all unfitness. All my powers are depraved, blind, perverse and filthy. If from death I'm fully saved, why am I not healthy? 780, commencing at verse 6.
May the Lord help us in coming to his holy word. And I'd particularly bring before you Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, especially that part where it says, his name shall be called Wonderful. The whole verse reads in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. For the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. This is a precious prophecy concerning the eternal Son of God coming to this earth, taking human nature, body and soul, coming to this earth to be born as the man, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. Well, let us note the circumstances of this prophecy. I felt burdened to read to you. We could have read also from 2 Kings 16, which also tells of the depravity of Ahaz, the then king of Judah. How he came to Damascus, how he saw there an altar, and there he commanded Urijah the high priest to go and build one like unto it in Jerusalem and shut the doors of the house of God. But throughout that dark reign of Ahaz, his vileness, his idolatry, so we read in 2 Chronicles 28, there was, as it were, a decrease. A decrease in his government. There was a rising up of those against the kingdom of Judah. Samaria slew 120,000. The Edomites rose up. The Philistines rose up. And yet in all those things, Ahaz, we have no record in Scripture that he was ever brought to repentance. What a terrible day it was. Yet in the midst of that, we read in Isaiah chapter 7, which marks the commencement of this section of prophecy in the book of Isaiah. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz. And we read further in that chapter of the promise of Emmanuel. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. What hypocrisy. What sanctimonious pretense. And he said, that is God, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Sorry, Isaiah said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. There in the midst of such a terrible rain and calamitous judgments upon Israel, yet there was the promise of the Messiah. There we may see we view it in the spiritual gospel sense. How beautiful the proclamation of the gospel to those who are dead in trespasses and sins. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to save the vilest of wretches. The Lord commendeth his love unto us that yet we were sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Well, we see here, when we look at this historical and true, yet spiritual account of the grace and mercy of God and on an unworthy, vile nation. And how gracious the Lord is upon such vile wretches as we. But there is something also very searching, very serious concerning these passages here. We note in chapter 7 of Isaiah, "Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz." Furthermore, in verse 10 of chapter 7, "Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying," there was the Lord himself speaking to Ahaz, to an ungodly man. You know, the Lord doesn't just speak to the godly, he speaks to the ungodly as well. In that gospel sense, the scriptures are written to the people of God for their blessing according to the eternal mercies of God. But in that literal sense, we read of many places in the Word of God where the Lord spoke unto the ungodly. We have examples where the Lord speaks and the ungodly come to repentance. We have here an example of one for whom we have no record of repentance. The Lord spake unto him. He even spoke concerning the coming Messiah, Emmanuel, the Son of God, whose name is wonderful. Yet Ahaz, in this time of distress, where does he go? He goes to the king of Assyria. Took away a portion out of the house of the Lord, and out of the house of the king, and out of the princes, and gave it unto the king of Assyria. Robbed God's house to give money to a man who he looked up to, a man of great strength and power, the king of Assyria. Well, the king of Assyria went and smote Damascus, slew Rezin, the king, carried away the people captive. Well, we read in 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 21, "But he helped him not." We may sacrifice conscience, sacrifice the way of that is right before God. We may sacrifice that which is good. We may sacrifice, as it were, the way we've been taught by godly parents, or the ministry, or whatever testimony we have been favoured to hear. Sacrifice it, sell it, to give unto that which we see as far more powerful. Give to the king of Assyria. Give to the world. Give to our career. Sacrifice it all that we may gain the world and all that's in there and all the pleasures of it. But he helped him not. king of Assyria was a very fickle friend, if it even could be called a friend or an ally. He certainly took all the money, took everything out that was taken from the house of the Lord. King of Assyria came again, did he not, as we read in the next reign of the king of Judah, Hezekiah. And truly, if there are any here that, and I must never assume that all before me know the Lord in spirit and truth, we're called to warn. But if there are any here that are trying to sell good conscience, as it were, to sell their soul to the devil, to be more blunt about the matter, as the king of Assyria didn't help Ahaz, nor will these things help you. No matter how you try to copy the altar of the king of Damascus, however much you try to sacrifice thereon like Ahaz did, it should do you no good. No matter how much we try to copy the pattern of this world, and sacrifice good conscience there, seeking our own will, seeking our own way, seeking our own leisures and pleasures, it will do us no good. And remember that the word of the Lord was to Ahaz. And as it was to Ahaz, and it is written here, so it is unto you. If there are any here in such a condition that come to the house of God, some of the others that we read in Scripture where there was a message from God. We think of that Eglon in the book of Judges, where Ehud came to him and said that he had a message from God. And that message was a sword that entered into him for his death and execution. But may we, by God's grace, have those ears to hear while it is yet today, while it is yet a gospel day, where we have such a precious promise before us here. The Old Testament saints, they looked forward until the coming of the Messiah, and by faith they received those blessings in their soul, as they laid hold by faith upon the promise of the Messiah. We are favoured in the New Testament church to have recorded in Holy Scripture that full revelation, according to God's holy will, of the coming of our Lord, his life, his laying down of his life, his resurrection, his ascension, his intercession in heaven, and indeed in prophecy we have in Revelation there that description of the eternal glory that awaits the church with Christ in heaven. But whether they be Old Testament saints or we in the New Testament, all are one in Christ. It is the same gospel, the same Lord, same faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This precious promise was given in a time of great distress. And I think concerning our own nation at this time, how, well, the country was called, or is called to some extent, Great Britain. But as the country has turned its back upon the way of God and godliness, one hesitates to even use the word great, rather vile. Now as a nation we have been cut short, just like we read of the kingdom of Judah, the Israelites, in the book of Kings and the Chronicles. Exactly the same. But yet those in our government, for the most part, they seek after this or that, the king of Assyria or anything, Egypt, but not unto the Lord. But yet in the midst of this, here is the precious promise of the Messiah. Does not this bring us to hope in our present day, in our present time in this nation? But even in the midst of such vileness, and as we can visibly see the nation being brought down, especially you who are older, and perhaps those of us who are younger, have read or seen about how this nation was in previous generations, and compare it to now, how vilely we have fallen. And, well, judgment must begin with the house of God, and have not these things begun first in the churches, in our land? Indeed, it wasn't an atheistic king of Judah who did these things. It was the king along with the high priest. And how in our nation of the churches of various denominations and associations, alas, including much strict Baptist associations, fallen, turned away to the beggarly elements, to worldliness, vileness. But yet, in the midst of all this, we still find a praying remnant. And we find there is this glorious promise of the Messiah, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I shall break the yoke of the oppressor, break the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. We later read in Isaiah concerning the breaking of the yoke because of the anointing. Read that in Isaiah 10 and verse 27. Because the prophecy of Isaiah goes on to speak about how Assyria, whom the king of Ahaz has trusted in, how Assyria shall come against Israel and Judah. But yet the Lord shall break off that yoke. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. It's the anointing of God. Christ, that word literally means the anointed one. Because of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, he shall break the yoke of the oppressor. So it is that precious name of Jesus. We read in the Song of Solomon, his name is as ointment poured forth. What powerful ointment or anointing that shall break a yoke. Even break an iron yoke. What a yoke it is. Sinner, wedded to sin, whether accustomed to be in a chapel or not, accustomed to pick up the Bible or not, or to be religious or openly profane, but a sinner wedded unto sin, utterly ruined, their evil heart, above all thinking of sin and the ways of sin, under the bondage of sin, bound unto it. And that's how each one is by nature, fallen man. Like a bull trying to break free. Is there any here like that? Trying to break free from all restraint if you could. People say, I'm free. It's a day of freedom and liberty. We should be free to do what we please. But as those words come off your lips, I'm free. Indeed, under the yoke of bondage to sin. But there's that precious name, that precious promise of one who shall break the bondage. Because of the anointing, that name which is as ointment poured forth. How powerful the name of Jesus. So powerful to break that heart of stone, to break the bondage of sin and iniquity, the snare of the devil. We speak initially concerning those that are dead in trespasses and sins. That precious name and the ointment poured forth. And those that were dead are raised again, raised to life. Think of Zacchaeus, the publican, serving the Romans, gathering taxes, but more so gathering it for himself. When Jesus called him to come down out of that tree, must come down, as he came down, the Lord said unto him that this day I must abide with thee. And what powerful entrance there was, not just into Zacchaeus' house, but into his heart. What a change there was. With joy he received Christ. With joy he stood up, rejoicing to give half his goods to the poor and to restore fourfold to those against whom he had exacted what was unjust. What glorious working there was. What a transformation there was. What life there was. We could multiply examples throughout the scriptures. That precious name of Jesus. What power. What breaking of the bonds of sin. And the yoke of the devil. Consider Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul. How he was going to Damascus, the same city that Ahaz went to. But what a different thing happened to Saul on the road to Damascus. He came with those letters from the high priest so he could lead away bound those who profess the name of Christ. Those who have been blessed by that precious name that had known that his name is wonderful, a glorious name. They had known the washing away of their sins, a glorious liberty, but he came to bind them, not knowing that he himself was in bondage himself. But unlike Ahaz, who came to Damascus and saw some grand altar and coveted such things and thought, well, the gods of Syria has done so well, so the gods of Syria must be powerful, I'll worship them. Saul of Tarsus, although he got the strictest of strict religions, was yet in utter bondage. And so may we be in such a place. We might have the strictest of the strict of religions, but be utterly in bondage, utterly ignorant of the anointing, the blessing in Christ Jesus. But whichever it be, whether we be profane or Pharisaical, yet there's only one who can reveal that precious name with power. God the Holy Spirit, reveal Christ. That name which is above all names. And when Saul was on the way to Damascus, that light shone all around him. Not just from one direction like the sun would do, but all around, that which is the light of the world. And as we read in the opening of the Bible, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, truly there was light into his soul. And Saul's prayer was, Lord, who art thou? Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Oh, there is wonder of wonders. The revealing of the name, I am Jesus, to one who so persecuted the church, hated Christ. Yet there the Lord revealed his glory unto Saul. And though Saul fell to the ground, he didn't fall into hell. Not like Dathan and Abiram and their Korah and their company, in which the ground opened up and they went quick, that is, still alive, down straight into hell. He fell to the ground, but he, in mercy, was not suffered to fall deeper than that. Not like Dathan and Abiram and their company. How wonderful the name of Jesus to such the vilest of sinners. Is there not hope for you and I? Is there not hope in that precious name? That name of Jesus is so precious. There is no other name. We read of that in Acts chapter 4. Now this, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Do you know the name of Jesus? Is he your Saviour? Or is he only a name that is named and that means nothing? Does the word Amen mean most? In other words, the end of the service and it's all over and we can go back to our life. The chapel's over. The hour of, as it were, torture is gone. Is that how we are? Is that how you've come to God's house? Is Amen, the end of the service, the most precious thing that you'll hear this day? Or is it the name of Jesus? Well, such were some of us who can testify, yes, Amen was the most precious word of the day. Chapel's over, return home. But then, by the almighty grace of God, that bondage was broken. And it was the name of Jesus that was the most precious name of the day, the word Jesus, Saviour. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. When that realisation that we're a sinner, Saul of Tarsus, suddenly had that horror of realisation that the one that he'd been persecuting was the Lord of glory, the one that he considered to be a falsehood, a liar, an imposter. And all that followed him to be worthy of death was indeed the Lord of glory, his creator, his judge. But what words of grace were shown unto Saul while it was yet today? Indeed, everyone shall know that Jesus is Lord, but not all that we know in Scripture shall be like Saul, and I trust like many here. I pray all may be so here. But there'll be those that will know and fall before the Lord Jesus Christ as they are committed to hell eternally. We'll have to confess that he is Lord. It will not be a confession of love. It will not be a confession of reverence, but it will have to be confessed without any hope on that great day in which the Lord shall come. But Saul was shown mercy while it is yet day, today. And yet given a heart of confession, a heart of submission. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Who art thou, Lord? A desire to know Jesus, to know the Lord, desire to serve him. But those words, the first words of the Lord to him, I am Jesus, that precious name. Gone was that fighting against God, fighting against the Son of God, fighting against the people of God, but now we're falling before him. Well, we do have, it is a very encouraging chapter. So encouraging this is, that in a day as we live, day of many discouragements, day of where we see the nation being cut short, the church indeed in our country being brought down, it would seem. The hearts of many grown cold, many sowing to the wind and will reap the whirlwind. Many esteeming more the pleasures of sin than the reproach of Christ. Many seeking a form of religion, even if it's ever so exact, but denying the precious doctrines of Christ and turning aside to heresy, or seeking as much of this world as they can get and yet still desire to sit comfortably in the chapel pew. But yet, in the midst of all this confusion, yet there is one who come. We read of this with the battle, confused noise, and the garments rolled in blood. There is one who has come, our Lord Jesus Christ, whose garments were stained with blood, his own blood, his precious shed blood, to redeem his people from their sins, to deliver them. There we see how his name's wonderful. How the Lord of glory should take human nature, body and soul, should suffer body and soul. His blood should be shed for poor unworthy sinners. How wonderful. How glorious. When the angel appeared unto Manoah and his wife, Noah asked his name. Wherefore askest thou name, seeing it is wonderful? In the margin, the translator's notes say that that word is also translated, so see how thy name is secret. The translator's notes also have that name is wonderful. Indeed, it is the same word in the Hebrew as we find here in Isaiah 9 verse 6, as in Judges chapter 13. Name secret or wonderful. And is it not wonderful when that which we had not seen, that which was closed unto us, suddenly opens out? Perhaps we see it in natural things. When suddenly, after some dark storm, we're perhaps in a place where there are mountains. We cannot see the mountains because there's the heavy rain and it is all dismal, gloomy. We see nothing but rain, and suddenly before our eyes the rain ceases, the clouds part. There's that beautiful clearness of the sky and the beauties of the Lord's creation before us. But how much more so when that veil is taken away, by the Lord the Spirit. And we see Jesus, no longer a name that means nothing but a beautiful name, wonderful name. Why? Because he shed his precious blood to defeat hell, sin, death, the devil, to deliver us into the glorious light of the gospel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Here we have a proof that the Son of God is God the Son. Some will say, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. The Jehovah's Witnesses will say that. But they won't acknowledge that he is God the Son. The divine Saviour. The mighty God. We read here, the Everlasting Father. That's for some time troubled me. Seemed to be a confusion between the Father and the Son. But when you read John's Gospel especially, that union between God the Father and God the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ came in his Father's name. And in 1 John 5 verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. See, this verse here speaks of the Trinity, that union of the Father and Son, and the Son of God being God the Son. Although the Jehovah's Witnesses won't acknowledge it, certainly Caiaphas and the Jews knew it. And from verses like this, which would have been known unto them, because when our Lord Jesus said that he confessed that he was the Son of the Highest, the Son of God, they considered it to be blasphemy because he was claiming to be God. They understood that claim, but they hated it, utterly abhorred it, couldn't believe it, that this carpenter's son was truly God. But yet, the eternal Son of God took human nature and was born as the man Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, and suffered in his human nature, body and soul, that he may save us, but body and soul. And after they'd done, and their own hearts were those spiteful acts, yet they were fulfilling the purposes of God in crucifying our Lord, yet he is risen again, ascended into the heavens to sit down at the right hand of the Father. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Well, these things are a comfort to us in the pathway of faith. How often do we find ourselves envying the foolish, envying the wicked, going after idols even? And in our dark, or we find ourselves in darkness, dimness. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. The Lord is so gracious even in our darkness to send forth that light. The entrance of thy word bringeth light. We have in Psalm 119. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Thy testimonies are wonderful. It's the privilege of every true believer not just to know at the beginning the wonderful, the wonders of this name, the wonders of Jesus, the glories of Jesus. But it's a privilege that we have so great and precious promises before us, ever before us, in his word. But in darkness, The entrance of thy words giveth light. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. Oh, that the Lord may reveal more and more the wonders of the precious name of Jesus. The wonders of his grace and his mercy. That our soul should keep them. Is that not the desire of every child of God, that their soul may keep the word of the Lord? Oh, that Jesus may be revealed to us more and more, that we may see the blessings and beauties in Christ, that our soul may follow hard after him, that the redeemed church in Song of Solomon, because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth, therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me and we will run after thee. Oh, that that precious name Jesus may yet be glorified more and more in our hearts, in our lives, in our churches. You know, the devil is a very subtle foe who tempts ministers, I know it myself, tempts members of congregations and churches to seek for something else other than Jesus. Something else to be preached. Something different to be preached. Something novel to be preached. Something even very scriptural but omitting Jesus. These things are the temptation of the devil. What glorious union there is when the people come together seeking to hear Jesus preached. To know Jesus. There is fellowship. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth you from all iniquity, sin. People think they can create fellowship by putting the word fellowship up on the front of the church building or call it a fellowship meeting, but there's no fellowship unless Christ is there. Unless each is walking in Christ, desiring him above all others. The minister preaching Christ above all others. Whatever doctrines we preach, and we must preach, teach the whole counsel of God. But the scriptures all point to this one great name, Jesus. That great work of salvation through Jesus. That glorious anointing through Jesus. That anointing, we've spoken of it, breaking the yoke, the bondage. We also read of the pouring in of the oil, the healing. Oh, how that name of Jesus is wonderful. Can heal, make whole. Well, we've referred to those who are literally bodily healed. But is that also that healing of the wounded conscience and the soul? How no doctor can touch those things. Those things that may have happened years ago. Things that may have been done to us or we did to others. Consider the Apostle Paul or Saul of Tarsus. What awful things he had done. Paled men and women to prison. Had them killed, murdered. And certainly prison in those days wasn't like it is now. Where prisoners have a right to, I'm not denying them this, but they have a right to a clean cell, to facilities, to food and to drink, and some exercise and something to keep them occupied, and education and everything else. Now, 5 years ago, I visited a Nigerian prison. I was amazed I was ever let in there. And there were some prisoners there who were in reasonable conditions by their standards, who had been found guilty and were serving a sentence, but we were taken to a building which was more like a giant cage with about 40 or 50 men inside, most of whom were naked or dressed in a few remnants of rags, all just behind bars, who all crowded forward to hear some words from prison visitor who was how I managed to get entrance, and for me to read the Bible and to speak to them for 10 or 15 minutes. It was a pretty horrendous sight to see it, but that's the sort of place when it says prison in the Bible is meant. Not a nice place at all. And whatever food they were going to be given, it was all laid out in the full sun in 90 to 100 degrees Fahrenheit with the flies walking all over it. And absolutely appalling. But for all our appearance or whatever we might have in modern society, that's where the soul of sinful man is until Christ comes. Although we might think we are all very well and proper, and we should be. There's nothing honouring to God in rudeness, uncleanness, or anything such like. But we have need of being shown where we really are, what we really are before in the sight of a holy God. But yet the Lord came to deliver such souls from prison. What a wonderful name. But the Apostle Paul, he had gone and put the Lord's people into such places, women and children as well. The ones that I saw in Nigeria, they were only on remand. They hadn't even been condemned of anything. And they could be there apparently for years, awaiting to come to court. Possibly unjustly accused. But the Apostle Paul, how those things must have borne upon his conscience. But the wonderful name of Christ, those things were forgiven. He didn't forget that he had done such things. He said he was the least of the apostles. He persecuted the church. But yet how his soul, his conscience was healed from such vile deeds. And if there are things that we have done so vilely or have been done to us, perhaps, and full of resentment because they're done to us, or full of guilt because we did them, or a mixture of guilt and resentment of things that we've done and things that were done to us. What a warfare and confusion there is that goes on in our soul. But the name of Christ, how those things can be healed in a moment. What power there is. Ointment poured forth. Wonderful counselor, the mighty God. Only God can do such things, and he does. In the precious name of Jesus. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, can bring peace where there was confusion, war. The increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Well, it is a precious truth that the Lord grants that peace in the soul. Those precious tokens of his goodness by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. But it is a token of that which, and a preparation for that which is eternal, shall have no end. In which the Lord, the Lamb, is all the light thereof in Emmanuel's land, where God is with us and the people of God sing hallelujah. It's a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. And that refrain that we have in Revelation, where they sang a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Anointing. It's used the anointing of a king and a priest. We read of that oil applied unto the those who are anointed for the priesthood and for the king. We also read of that application in similar fashion to the one cured of leprosy. But that anointing oil, anointing the Lord's people to reign as kings and priests with Christ, to offer here below sacrifices of thanks and praise, and yet more so eternally in heaven. How wonderful the name of Jesus. May we show it forth to his praise in this life here below, and then eternally. Amen.
Willing, Dr. Sadler hopes to address the Sunday School this afternoon, and Mr. Jempson is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Broom next Lord's Day, if he's well enough. Let us close with hymn 1011. My God, the spring of all my joys, the life of my delights, the glory of my brightest days, and comfort of my nights. 1011.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and evermore. Amen.